The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is George McDonough, co-founder and director of KR1. Ticker there, of course, KR1. George, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me on.
Now, you've released an update, it's an investment update on the Moonbeam Network, and I've got to say, I'm going to need some help with this, George, because I've read through it three or four times now, and parts of it are starting to stick, but part of it I'm not getting, so you can explain that in a bit. Before we do, as always, for people not familiar with KR1, just explain what it's all about, if you could, George.
Sure. So we're an early stage blockchain and digital asset investment company supporting decentralized networks and open source blockchain projects. So that's sort of one side of it. The sort of newer side of it is the fact that we have this revenue generating side of the business, which has what we call staking activity. So we stake our tokens in the network and derive an income from that way. But the main aim of the company is to give, you know, investors access to the crypto economy via a publicly listed share. And as one of the earliest players in the space back in 2016, we've managed to build up a great portfolio and network of other movers and shakers in the space, and that keeps our pipeline full, and our investment portfolio keeps getting bigger.
Yeah, you've done very well indeed, and it helps with, you know, if people want access to crypto. Like I said, there's so much stuff out there, and I was looking on the weekend at just some of these stocks that have fallen by 99%, and most of them seem like they made up overnight, the names, you know, just because they were Thanksgiving turkey and all this stuff, and I thought, what the heck is going on there? And I suppose if you are, I mean, I think everyone should have a bit of exposure to this kind of technology going forward, but yours is one of the safer plays, because at least you do, you know, you have the expertise, you know how to do due diligence on these projects, and you know whether they hold water and they're future-proof, and so it's a good way of getting exposure, isn't it, I suppose. So explain this, and the Moonbeam Network investment update, take us through this as a layperson. And explain it to me if you could.
Sure. So in 2017, we made an investment of just under $1 million into a project called Polkadot. Mm-hmm. That's done very well since. I think we're around approximately, I think we've made about $120 million on that investment. So it's done very well. The reason why we made that investment is Polkadot offers a vision for interoperability between blockchains. So currently at the moment, you know, Ethereum, Bitcoin, and you can carry on down the top 10 in terms of market cap. These are blockchains that exist by themselves. They're sort of sovereign blockchains, but they're not connected in any way.
Yeah.
And very much like if you imagine, you know, cities trading within themselves, but having no connecting roads, as soon as you build the connections between the cities, you know, everything goes up, liquidity goes up and travel and so on and so forth and trade. Mm-hmm. And so the aim is to sort of connect all the chains together so that they can communicate with each other, send tokens and data between themselves. And how this system works is you have something called a relay chain, which is a sort of central nervous system of the Polkadot network. And then attached to the relay chain are these what we call parachains. Yeah. And the current investment that we've made. We've done a couple previously on another network called Kusama, which is very similar to Polkadot. It's a sort of younger brother, built by the same group. And what happens is these parachains have to win auction slots to join the central relay chain. Mm-hmm. So there's only a certain number of slots available, and it's a bit of a beauty contest, really. What happens is members of the community of these particular projects, like Moonbeam or Akala, which is another one that we've participated in, they have to sort of signal their interest in those projects by locking up their DOT tokens, their Polkadot tokens. Mm-hmm. And then those projects sort of, you know, they each get a sort of balance of DOT tokens from their own community. And whoever gets the most DOT tokens wins the parachain slot. And so, of course, there's a lot of competition here because it's very important to win one of those slots. Because as soon as your project is connected to the relay chain, you can begin to interoperate with the other projects. Mm-hmm. And so KR1 having a very large amount of dots, 3.5 million, because of our investment back in 2017, we have a very strong position because we can now allocate these DOT tokens to these parachain projects, which, of course, we also have seed funding allocations in because we seed funded Akala and we seed funded Moonbeam, over a year ago. And so really what we're doing is we're supporting these great projects in the early stages, but then also supporting them again in their crowd loan efforts. And so we allocated 350,000 DOT tokens, which is about $12 million. So this is very significant investments for the company, considering we've built the business by writing $200,000 checks. So this is serious sums for us. But what's really interesting, and I think what comes through in the name crowd loan, is that we actually get these tokens back, these DOT tokens. So we allocated, as I say, 350,000, but in 2 years' time, we will get those tokens back. So why do we do this? Well, in return for handing these, for loaning these DOT tokens to these projects, we get back tokens of that specific parachain. So for example, with Moonbeam, we will get back Glimmer tokens. And, with Akala, we will get their token as well. So effectively, we're growing our portfolio of tokens in these projects, but in 2 years' time we will get our DOT tokens back. So it's a really interesting mechanism of launching Polkadot into the world with parachains already connected to it. So we're just going through that process now in terms of finding who is going to win these parachain slots. And so far, Akala and Moonbeam are first and second. Akala first, Moonbeam second, both of which are seed-funded projects of ours. So we're absolutely thrilled that that's the case.
So essentially, like you say there, it's a crowd loan based on the tokens, and you get paid back in these different tokens from different networks. So
exactly,
yeah. And so there's so many, like I said, at the moment, so many crypto projects at hand here. And I mean, I know you've got, like I said, you guys do a lot of research and you look into them, and you've got the expertise there, the knowledge there, and experience. What at the moment? I mean, people are talking about the decentralized apps and all this stuff, and decentralized finance. Is it true that Ethereum is the busiest as far as creating decentralized apps? Is that the one that's succeeding at the moment, I suppose? I mean, they're all succeeding to a certain extent, but more than any other. Is that the one that most people are building their projects on, using?
I think that's right. The way I look at the space is Bitcoin effectively created a very, very secure way of moving value. I look at it a bit like a Nokia phone in the sense that it texts and calls incredibly well. I think it's a very good analogy to say that Ethereum is like an iPhone. It created a sort of base platform for creating decentralized applications. And then the world came along and just built an app store. A decentralized app store on top of Ethereum, and that early mover advantage that Ethereum had by unlocking the creativity of some of the world's cleverest computer scientists, gave it that initial network effect. The problem is, of course, that this is early stage technology, and Ethereum, although it had more throughput than Bitcoin did, it's still incredibly small in terms of how much this global computer can crunch in terms of data. And so it's a victim of its own success in the sense that it's so popular and there are so many applications that people are trying to use. Take, for example, something like Uniswap, which is in various times has done more volume than the NASDAQ in terms of dollar throughput. So these are hugely popular applications. But because of that, the system is incredibly slow and expensive. So the technology is trying to sort of move on from this sort of slow throughput by trying to find ways of scaling the networks. And when you look down through the top 20 projects market cap, a lot of those projects are projects that have sort of tweaked the dials a bit in terms of how they're designed to try and beat Ethereum in terms of throughput. But of course, what a lot of these projects don't have is they don't have the size and scale of the community that Ethereum has. Mm. And of course, then there is also this aspect that Ethereum 2.0 is coming down the line. No one really knows how far away it is. It's been in the offing for some time.
Yeah.
But so basically there's this sort of competition happening between, you know, clearly product market fit is there. DeFi, decentralized finance, is a thing. You know, billions of dollars is moving through these things. You know, what needs to happen next is they need to solve the problem of throughput. That's essentially what's happening through the space. Some are successful, some are building very large communities, and you know, projects like Solana, you know, are definite competitors. Mm. I think in terms of something like Polkadot, that's in a slightly different bucket, because that's in effect a sort of layer zero. That's kind of connecting chains together. Is in a slightly different, has a slightly different aspect to it, which I think is really interesting. But from an Ethereum perspective, it's all about Ethereum at the moment. And let's see how things pan out.
Yeah, absolutely. And so just explain there, Ethereum 2.0, that's what's going to help speed, is it, and is it the scalability of Ethereum?
Yeah, so they've been designing what's called a sort of sharded network. In many regards, it does actually very much resemble the kind of architecture of Polkadot. But let's not forget that, you know, Polkadot was designed by Dr. Gavin Wood, who also was one of the main technical designers behind Ethereum. So they, mm-hmm. they come from the same mind, essentially.
Yeah.
There's definite, there are differences, obviously, but there, you can see that the design architecture of these two projects, Ethereum 2.0 and Polkadot, have similar elements to it. And what they're trying to do is effectively have shards. Parachain is very similar to a shard in the Polkadot world, and it allows this sort of parallel computing to happen, so that you can have different shards doing different things, but still share the same security, and in that way, sort of overcome this throughput element, and have basically many, many, many more thousands of transactions per second happening, but whilst maintaining the same sort of security properties. That's the hope, anyway. Polkadot's got a bit of a jump on Ethereum 2.0 because it's already up and running, just going through its sort of initial sort of coming to market period. And Ethereum 2.0 hasn't got there yet, but obviously it has huge amounts of expectation on it. And you look at projects like Lido, which is an investment of ours, which is sort of capturing the ether. You can sort of cross this bridge. You know, people with their Ethereum tokens can lock them up and receive staking rewards for the future Ethereum 2.0 as it's coming down the line. So there's still a huge amount of interest in Ethereum 2.0, and really, you know, it's theirs for the taking, really, if they manage to get it off the ground soon.
Yeah. Where do you think we are as far as crypto? Because we've had, you know, it's been done very well, and you see these ridiculous rises, which the last, when you see a sector like this rise, was like someone's .com, the entire sector. Are we in the hype stage here or what? I mean, because of course a lot of these projects will have will be valuable over time, but I struggle to get my head around the market caps of some of these things when they're not doing any kind of, you know, at the moment, revenue or very little revenue. How does that fit in? Where are we at the moment? Are we literally in the hype stage or what?
It's a confusing space to kind of quantify in that way. What's happening is a new technology, essentially digital scarcity, is trying to be priced by a global market of participants because it's permissionless. Mm. What is digital scarcity worth? Well, considering, you know, something like Bitcoin is just the first application of digital scarcity, and then you have DeFi and NFTs, not to mention the fact that, of course, that legacy businesses can start using blockchains in various ways to enhance their businesses and supply chains and logistics and so on and so forth. So I think everyone kind of realizes that, you know, decentralized technologies are a vast opportunity. Of course, what happens in that process is hype and speculation. And that's kind of the process of how we find out what these new technologies are worth. We get totally overexcited about something like Ethereum in the early days, and it goes up 3,000 times. Mm. And then everyone realizes that actually the technology is not quite ready yet, and it costs $100 to do a transaction. Yeah. And so down we come again. But it never comes down quite as far as it start, you know, went from when it started. So you have over time these charts that, you know, they just go up. A lot of that is charting adoption. More and more people are understanding the technology, more and more people are coming into it. And so far we've had three very large kind of sort of hype cycles in the space, where you sort of get this big blow off top and everyone gets thoroughly overexcited, and then down into a bear market we go. And throughout these processes, throughout these sort of cycles, you know, the technology continues to develop and people continue to make, you know, new attempts at using digital scarcity in innovative ways. I think the market's beginning to change now a bit because much larger players are coming in, much larger sort of, you know, what you might call institutional players are beginning to, enter the market. And they have different appetites and different risks to what you might, you know, suggest that retail do. This was obviously a revolution led by individuals, and you know, now the sort of the corporations are coming to play, as it were, and that will change the market. It'll change probably how you get these blow off tops and these big bear markets, and it might actually even out. Currently, we're looking at the last sort of cycle, the last 3 years, 4 year cycle, you know, looks very different to previous ones. So we're trying to understand what, you know, what this you know, new money into the space, you know, looks like, and how that's changing the market. But I think generally the route we're going on is positive and mm-hmm. upwards, because of how foundational this technology is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's hard to put a value on the future, like you say. I mean, it's pretty much the same with Tesla, you know. People, I mean, if you look at the actual fundamentals, it looks insane. But then there's the argument of saying, well, no, it's not about the car, it's about the technology, you know. So it is hard. But okay, cool. That's good stuff. All right. So as always, if you could give us those three reasons. As you know, on the front page of Vox, there are 10 companies that are most followed. To get on that list, people have to hit the follow button on your page. So if you could, three reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page and add KR1 to their watch list, please.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, if you're interested in crypto, then, you know, we do the hard work and get exposure to the best projects coming down the line. So, you know, we work for you, in a sense. Then I think the fact that we've got, you know, the longest track record in the space, you know, 5 years of, we were the first token investment company, you know, allows us to continue to deliver results. And then I think for, you know, anyone UK-based, you know, being able to put us in your ISA is a fantastic way of getting exposure to crypto.
Marvelous stuff. George, thanks for that, and we'll speak soon. Thanks a lot.
Not at all. Thanks for having me.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.